And of course, we are not saying everything that there is to be said about the Holy Spirit. In some ways, really, what we're doing in this series is taking a tour through some of the really important passages in the Bible that speak about the work of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives as believers. And so far, we've seen two really important passages, Ephesians chapter 1 on the seal of the Spirit, and then Galatians chapter 5 on the Spirit as He shapes us in transforming us into becoming more like Jesus. And this morning, we get to another really important passage about the work of the Holy Spirit. Doing a series through the Holy Spirit, we cannot ignore this particular passage coming up today. It's a teaching on the Holy Spirit that comes in the Gospels. It is the longest teaching on the Holy Spirit in the Gospels. It comes from the words of Jesus Himself. And it's in the context of the farewell discourse. So this is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples, just as He's about to be betrayed and He's about to leave them. He gives this really lengthy talk to them. In fact, it's the longest recorded teaching that Jesus gives in the Gospels, and it is on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Seems like this would be an important passage for us to study today. Yes, that's what we're going to have a look at. John 14. In fact, the farewell discourse, as you're turning in your Bibles to John 14, goes 14 through 16, and there's three places in that sort of speech where Jesus references the work of the Holy Spirit. We're really only going to study the first of those passages and reference the others as they come up. So here we go. I hope you got your Bibles ready. John chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verses 15 to 27. We'll probably skip a few verses in the middle as we go, so that may not relate exactly on the screen, but hopefully you got your Bibles with you and are following along with me. So John 14, reading from verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now let's fast forward a little bit, and let's get on to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So today I want to make one main point about the Holy Spirit, what Jesus teaches about the person of the Holy Spirit, and then look at two applications of what He's saying that come up in this text. So the first thing that we want to learn about the Holy Spirit that's so important from this passage is the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. He's just about Jesus. It's been said within the sort of mysterious idea of the Trinity, it's been said that the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity. He's the shy one. He does not like to take the stage. He does not like to be in the spotlight. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, the spotlight. He likes to be shining on, focusing people's attention on that other member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ Himself. This is a basic understanding about the Holy Spirit that comes up all through this passage today. You need to know that everything about the Holy Spirit is about Jesus. And I want to show you that specifically just in three ways in this passage, but even just a casual reading of John 14 and then at the end of verse 15, chapter 15, at the end of chapter 16, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, you will never get the impression through these passages that the person and work of the Holy Spirit somehow overshadows the person and work of Jesus Christ. You will not get that impression. Now, let me show you that in three ways from this passage. So, first of all, it's in one little word. It's a tiny little word that also does not draw much attention to itself, but is loaded with meaning. It is the word another. Have a look at verse 16 and 17 when Jesus first talks about sending the Spirit. He says, "Don't worry that I'm going away, because I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper." Another helper. So it's Jesus, when he's trying to reassure his disciples because he's leaving, doesn't say, "Don't worry, I will send you a helper." He says, "I'll send you another helper." Well, if the Spirit coming is another helper, who was the first kind of helper? Well, that is, of course, Jesus himself. Another helper. So he is coming again in a different way to be present, to manifest his presence, to do everything that he was doing with the disciples, to do with them in an ongoing way after his death and resurrection and ascension, and for all time, all people, everywhere. Another helper. I mean, remember, the disciples are really quite anxious about this whole thing of Jesus leaving them. So he's trying to encourage them. And he says, "Don't worry, I will not leave you. I will come to you." He's saying he will still be with them. He, through the Spirit, will still be with them, which is just amazing. The Christian faith is obviously built around the person and work of Jesus Christ. And now he's saying, even though he's gone, he will still be very much so with them. In fact, not just with them, but in them. We just think about other world religions, right? Key starters of world religions, for example, Buddha or Muhammad. Followers of those religions would not be able to say that they are able to be in relationship with those leaders who led those, who started those religions, because they were in the wrong place, in the wrong time. So people living today cannot be in a relationship with them, but not so with Christianity. We still get to be with and in relationship with Jesus Christ by His Spirit. His Spirit. Elsewhere in Scripture, that's why the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the Spirit of Christ. So it's in the little word another, but even in a different way in the word another. So as maybe you know by now, I mean, the original languages of the Bible are so precise. And there's actually two different words in Greek for another. Two different words. So the one means another of the same kind, and the other word means another of a different kind. So for example, if I'm going shopping for a new pair of pants, and I get in, I'm trying on a pair of pants, and they don't fit, or they look terrible, then I'll say, "Man, I need to go get another pair." It means another, a different kind, different one. But if, on the other hand, I'm eating a delicious croissant in the studio like we often do on a Sunday morning, and I've had my croissant, I'm like, "Man, that's so good, I'm going to have another." It means I'm going to go have another one of the same kind. When Jesus says another helper, which of the two do you think he's using here? Which of the two words? Well, I'll tell you. He's using another of the same kind. Another helper. In other words, the Holy Spirit will be of the same kind as Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. That's proof number one. That's proof number two. Another important little verse we've got to wrestle with in this hugely important passage. When Jesus says in verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive," because it doesn't see him or know him. Like, we've got to wrestle with that. The world can't receive, because if we're tracking with the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus and the work of Jesus, wow, that's encouraging. But you're telling me there are certain people that are excluded from experiencing that work of the Holy Spirit? We would want to avoid that, right? So what does it mean, whom the world cannot receive? Well, you see, the Spirit is Jesus. And the world, well, the world just generally doesn't fancy Jesus all that much. Not then, they were about to crucify him, and still not now. Well, if you don't like Jesus, you won't like the Holy Spirit. If you don't want the work of Jesus in your life, you will not want the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you reject Jesus, you will reject the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is all about Jesus. So those that could not receive Jesus will not want to even receive the Holy Spirit. So it's there in that tricky little sentence as well. And, well, Jesus just says it flat out. A couple of times, actually. But in chapter 15, so we didn't read that passage, but same discourse in verse 26, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes," so he's back on the subject of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father," listen to this, "he will bear witness about himself," he'll bear witness about me, Jesus says. He'll bear witness about me. He speaks about Jesus. He shows Jesus. He points towards Jesus. He kind of gushes on Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. That's John 16. The next chapter, when he speaks about the Helper, Jesus will say, "He will glorify me," in verse 14. Are you starting to get this? In this passage from John 14 through 16, as Jesus teaches the longest teaching about the Holy Spirit on the Gospels, you cannot miss that the person and work of the Holy Spirit is all about the person and work of Jesus Christ made known in the present tense. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in the present tense. Now, before we get on to applications of that come from this text, I feel like we need to just pause and make maybe some implications of what this means when you look at a lot of that's happening in religions under the umbrella of Christianity around the subject of the Holy Spirit. If you see any person or a Christian person or a Christian leader or a Christian ministry that's all about the Holy Spirit but makes no mention of the person Jesus, it is unlikely that that is a Christian ministry and that is truly a Christian leader, because as we've just seen through these proofs, and there's many more, the person and work of the Holy Spirit is to put a spotlight on Jesus, to manifest Jesus, to witness to Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to show people Jesus. And so when you're seeing things that's all about the Holy Spirit himself, that doesn't make sense. He's the one that doesn't like to be in the spotlight. He likes to shine the spotlight on Jesus himself. And there's a lot that kind of goes on under this broad umbrella of Christianity. Well, they would put themselves under the broad umbrella of Christianity, that they would say they associate with Christianity, but it has very little to do with Jesus. And you need to be careful. Can't really be fooled by the fact that there's a lot said about the Holy Spirit, and perhaps even some evidences of some supernatural work or power of the Holy Spirit, because you know the Spirit's not going to put himself in the spotlight. He's going to put Jesus in the spotlight. And so if Jesus is not in the spotlight, it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. It's potentially the work of other spirits, period. See, there's a lot that goes on just in even just other branches of spirituality. And I say spirituality with a small s. If I'm using it to talk about the Christian religion, I'll use a capital S because it's from the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot under the banner of spirituality, whether that's kind of New Age sorts of thinking, whether that's some areas of like African traditional religions that we explored in a webinar a few weeks back, whether that's in branches of even churches. More often than not, there are spiritists. Spiritists are people who believe in a spirit and in spirits. And there's perhaps even evidences of work of spirits. But if it's not pointing to Jesus Christ, if he's not being glorified or manifested and believed upon and followed, it's not the work of the Holy Spirit, but perhaps other spirits. So beware. This is a test of a genuine work of the Holy Spirit, of genuine revival, genuine renewal in a person's life, is that they become more and more affectionate towards Jesus, more and more inclined and compelled to follow him, more and more inclined and compelled to speak of him. This is what Jesus himself is teaching us about the Holy Spirit. So, with that rather heavy warning, let's perhaps move on to some of the work of what the Holy Spirit, not other spirits, what the Holy Spirit does. Some new things of learning what the Spirit does. We've already learned two things in this series so far. The Spirit seals us. It was week number one. Week number two, he shapes us through changing our desires. And now number three, this week we're going to learn a few more things about what the work of the Holy Spirit includes. Now, let me just pause here for a second and say, so there's a lot that the Spirit does. We've got three more weeks in this series, so we'll talk about a few more things, but we could not come up with an exhaustive list. So one of the things that I loved about studying engineering is that I never had to memorize a thing. You don't have to remember anything. You just have to understand something. And if you understand it, then you're good to go. Now, see, this morning, in focusing on the Spirit as one who's all about Jesus, gives us just one little point of understanding. Is to see, if you just want to think about what kinds of things does the Spirit do? Well, now that you know he's all about Jesus, just think about all the kinds of things Jesus did. Because we know those. Now, we've got four Gospels, not just one. We've got it in times two, times three, times four accounts sometimes of the things Jesus did, of the things Jesus said, of the effects of Jesus on people's lives. So if you're wondering what it is the Spirit does, just think about, well, what are the kinds of things Jesus did? And come up with your own list. How cool is that? You don't have to memorize a list of 59 things that the Spirit does. Just think about, hey, what are the kinds of things we see Jesus doing? And the corollary of that is this: if you're wondering, if you're seeing something in a friend's life or family member's life or something on TV, and you're wondering, man, is that the work of the Holy Spirit? Just go, hey, would Jesus do that? Is that manifestation of something supernatural in a person's life, is that something we see Jesus manifesting in people's lives? For example, as you see in perhaps some instances of the work of the Holy Spirit, some just crazy stuff, perhaps people barking like dogs, etc. You know, I go, man, do we see Jesus having that effect on people? Is there a record of people responding to the work of Jesus in that kind of way? But I don't see that. So that's unlikely for me to be a genuine work of the Holy Spirit. See? You just got a principle here. And if all you get today from John 14 through 16, this longest speech of Jesus in the Gospels that includes the Holy Spirit in it, his farewell speech, his last important words. Get this, this is what he is teaching about the work of this third member of the Trinity. So there you go. So I want to just share with you two, because they come up in this passage, the particular works of the Spirit, which you will see, are very obviously things that Jesus himself did and are here in this passage. So here we go. Number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us. Or let me say more broadly, speaks to us, communicates with us, speaks to us. Do we read of Jesus? Let's use our test principle here. Do we read in the Gospels of Jesus teaching people? Quite a few times. He taught people, meaning by using his words, speaking to them, words that bring wise counsel and direction for life, words that bring conviction, perhaps helping people see where their lives are heading off a cliff to destruction. He'll bring words of conviction to correct them, words of instruction, teaching people, instructing them about how to live in the ways of the kingdom of God that lead to flourishing, human flourishing, communities flourishing. Did Jesus say those kinds of things? Well, absolutely, you betcha he did. And so, do you think we're going to see that a primary work of the Holy Spirit is to teach? You betcha. It's going to instruct us, guide us with counsel, convict us, so many things. So here it is in the passage that we read, verse 26 of chapter 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, on that note, what he means is in the immediate sense to the disciples that he's speaking to, the Spirit will remind you of everything I said. What that means is they were able to write down the Gospels. Have you ever wondered how Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were able to remember all of these stories? Well, Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to remind you. So they were able to, in other words, it speaks to the inspiration of the Gospels of the Scriptures. But to us, what he means now is not so much inspiration. We're not writing Scripture, are we? But illumination. The words of Scripture, the words of Jesus, the words of God, this whole book brings it to life, brings it to remembrance, brings it to mind, brings it to heart, which is undoubtedly, this is the Spirit speaks, undoubtedly the primary way the Holy Spirit speaks, the primary way God speaks to us is through the Scriptures. So if you want to hear God speaking to you, just load up on lots of Scripture and you will hear God speaking to you. So the Holy Spirit, in other words, I would say, is the communication center of the Trinity. So he's the Shah one, but he's the communications director of the Godhead of the Trinity. He's kind of like the operating system when it comes to communication, kind of like the iOS for the Apple fans. But the apps used to actually communicate to us, the primary app is the Scriptures. God will also use other people. The Spirit will use other people to communicate to us. He will also use circumstances. He will also use impressions in our own spirit, which is so mysterious. He will also use events around us. He will use all those other apps, but his primary, the default app, communication app for the operating system of the Holy Spirit is the Scriptures. Now we see his primary role in communication in so many verses, like the ones that we just read, but it's even locked into his name, or at least the name Jesus gives to the Spirit here. He would have picked up on this word, come up a few times, Helper. It's the title of this sermon today, because that's how it comes up in the translation that I normally use, Helper. But behind that word Helper is this idea of the Spirit as the communication center, the one who speaks to us. So Helper comes up if you're reading ESV, John 14, John 15, John 16. It's the word Jesus is using to describe the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, we've got to learn one little Greek word today. This is an important one. Paraclete, that's the word. Paraclete. Which comes from a combination of two words, one which means to come alongside, and the other which means to speak. I almost feel like there's not an English word that is best for this. To come alongside and speak. I mean, I just noticed in Pastor Ndaba's prayers this morning, and he's speaking to us, I don't know, it was quite a few times Ndaba mentioned, you come alongside us, come alongside us. That's, yes, that's exactly, it is Jesus, it's the Godhead, we will dwell with them. It's coming alongside us, and but the Spirit speaking, come alongside, speak, paraclete. It's inherent in his very name, is the one who speaks. Now, that helper is not a wrong word. It's maybe not the best word, because helper maybe means someone to help me clear out my garage that I was doing yesterday. I'm just so thankful my dad came to help me clear out my garage. You know, that's what you kind of maybe think of when you think about helper. So the Spirit does help us, but helps by speaking. Speaking truth. Truth about God. Truth about our lives. Truth about where they're heading. It's the Spirit of truth. He speaks, and by his speaking, he helps us to direct us and convict us and instruct us. So he is a helper, but he's a helper through speaking. He's also, some translations, maybe what you're reading this morning, would translate the word paraclete in John 14, 15, and 16 as counselor. Counselor. Well, that's okay. I mean, the counselor means somebody speaking, but these days when you think of counselor, you think of like when you only when you're really in trouble, you make an appointment to go see somebody and you lie down on a couch press, but it's generally someone you don't know really well and they're helping you. That's not like the Spirit at all. It's beside you, it's in you, knows you better than you know yourself. So it's not bad, but the Spirit again is a counselor, but counsels through speaking deeply into our hearts, at the place of our desires, at the place of our brokenness, at the place of our greatest fears, which no human counselor can do. Still, some other translations would call it the comforter. Comforter, which for me makes me think of a blanket, a nice warm blanket. Maybe tons of you are under those today. And sure, the Spirit does bring comfort, but brings that comfort again by coming alongside and speaking. So let's dwell on that work. So the Spirit teaches, and I want to take that last point about the Spirit comforting as the second major work that the Spirit does. So he seals, he sanctifies, he speaks, and he comforts us. Because there actually is a large work of the Spirit, is to bring comfort. And even that's maybe not the best way to translate a little bit of his name. This is what the Spirit does. Let's just ask the test question. Did Jesus comfort people on earth? When he moved around, was there a result of people being comforted? I mean, you gotta believe it. He comforted people by intervening in their circumstances in miraculous ways. If they were worried, he sometimes miraculously removed the source of their anxiety. Perhaps most times he comforted by simply being present and physically touching people, just reminding them that he was there. Sometimes, at least one occasion I can think of, he comforted them by just weeping with them. The person of Jesus brings great comfort to those caught in sin, thinking of the woman caught in adultery, and the comfort that he brings her with conviction, but still reinstating her. Does the Spirit do these things? Absolutely. Comforts us by intervening sometimes, we hear in these extraordinary stories, definitely by being a presence of Jesus, and by weeping with us. Ndaba alluded to Romans 8. It speaks, the Spirit groans with groanings that we cannot even groan. He's interceding on your behalf when you have no words, when you can't pray. He's praying for you, praying with you. Isn't that amazing? So yes, he's our comforter. And we see it in this passage, the very end, John 14, verse 27, where Jesus says, peace, peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives. So let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. And I wanted to focus on that one this morning because, hey, let's be honest. How many of us need this peace? Not like the world gives peace through temporary relief of circumstances. His peace. Who's anxious this morning? Whose hearts are afraid? Jesus says, I'm going to leave you peace, but how? Well, you kind of have to fast forward to the very end of the book of John, John chapter 20, when Jesus has been, he's been crucified, he's been resurrected, the disciples are gathered in a room again, they're afraid again, and he kind of appears through the walls, and he speaks to them. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Huh. He's reminding them, he's like, I told you that just a week or so before, when you were in there, you were afraid before. So let me remind you again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And then listen to this. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, these disciples, I mean, they had the Spirit as the seal within them. Absolutely. But what they needed in that moment was peace. In the midst of the anxiety, he was about to send them out. They needed his peace, so he breathes on them. Breath. Breath is the Old Testament word for spirit. Breathed on them, giving them the peace that he promised to them. This is what the Spirit does. You find yourself overwhelmed today, whether it's the news. I have to kind of mention this. Candace is sitting here, but she came in this morning for our meeting. We're just going, guys, did you watch the news this morning in Afghanistan? I hadn't. I was like, oh, I almost don't want to hear what you're going to say, you know. But you read the news every morning and there's just so much to be worried about. I mean, it's the world. Never mind our own lives, our current contexts. The Holy Spirit brings a different kind of peace, but it's a peace that comes with the presence of Jesus. Listen, if I'm counseling somebody and they're going through grief or going through struggles, and I'm trying to be super wise and give them all the you know, tiny little bit of wisdom that I might have. But if I can't bring them to Jesus and let them have Jesus and experience Jesus, I'm just limited. The comfort and the peace that the Spirit brings is not some kind of neutralizing force, like kind of some anesthetic that just washes over you all of a sudden. No, it comes with Jesus. And so if you're needing comfort and you're needing peace but unwilling to accept Jesus, I can't give you, we cannot give you, God cannot give you much. The Spirit points to Jesus. He's all about Jesus. He teaches like Jesus did, about Jesus, about all the scriptures pointing to Jesus. He brings the kind of comfort that Jesus brought. May you today experience the Spirit. And the way that you will experience that is through a greater acknowledgement of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, we address you this morning as God, as that member of the Trinity, which we don't quite understand how that works, but we know you're the one that works deeply in our hearts, that manifests to us in our hearts, in our lived experience, the person and work of Jesus Christ, that you love to do this, we're told. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do this in my heart, in my life, in our hearts, in our lives, in our church. Shine that huge spotlight on the person and work of Jesus, that it becomes real and known and acknowledged, that we submit to it and follow it. This is your work. This is what you love to do. So we invite you to do that in our lives. And church and guys just watching from home, I just encourage you in this time of prayer, just give a little bit of time. Just be honest. Remember what we learned last week. The Holy Spirit just loves it when we're just honest. We're not pretending. if you feel like your spiritual walk is all about small s spirituality and very little of Jesus, just ask. Remember, ask. Jesus himself said, who of you, being a good father, would not give food to a child who asks? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So just ask. Acknowledge. Acknowledge the reality of your spiritual state. And ask. The Spirit loves, is waiting. He's waiting to open your hearts to the glories of Jesus Christ, to the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's longing to fling open those doors and show you the wide vistas outside. Acknowledge, ask, and then act. Step through that door. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as you turn to the illuminated person and work of Jesus Christ. And for those perhaps listening, perhaps in the background or on the side, who not Christians, but maybe you're experiencing something now. Maybe you are feeling in your heart some sort of turmoil, spiritual turmoil, not knowing where to turn. Just ask, reach out, and invite the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus himself. Just say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to experience all that there is, all that people talk about, all that your scriptures say. And just ask. Ask him to reveal himself to you and be willing to cross that line and follow him where he leads you. We pray these things. Lord Jesus, in your name, a name that the Holy Spirit loves to amplify. Amen.